The Firearms Deer Hunting Opener is November 4th, and the DNR predicts a good deer season, barring any unforeseen, unusual weather. Deer numbers are up following 3 years of conservative harvest regulations designed to rebuild the population, coupled with three relatively mild winters. As a result, there'll be more antlerless permits available this year, and hunters in many parts of the state will have additional opportunities to harvest more deer. This year, there's going to be a massive chronic wasting disease testing effort on the opening weekend of hunting season. That covers a large area around Brainerd, reaching almost to Grand Rapids and Park Rapids. Dr. Michelle Carstensen is the Minnesota DNR Wildlife Health Program Supervisor. She joins us now to tell us more about the DNR's response to the infectious agent. It's called prions. Is that right?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us. So what are prions?
Well, they're really a misshapen protein. So prions is the way I pronounce them. And it's a protein that's naturally in the body. But when this disease impacts an animal, it misfolds them. And then that replicates in their body, primarily starts in the nervous system, but then can spread throughout the animal. And it's always fatal and can affect both deer, moose, elk, and reindeer.
When were prions found?
Well, they really came out of the western states in Colorado in the 40s. Even we knew of this disease was detected in mule deer populations, but its exact origins is really still a mystery. However, it has spread since that time through, we have 24 states in the U.S. that have this disease and two Canadian provinces. And more recently, Norway found their first case in reindeer and a couple moose.
Wow. Is that, is the evidence in Norway is that it spread from the United States, or is this itself something that just happens with a malformed prion that sort of can happen anywhere?
For the Norwegians, they're really working on that mystery. So there's some, discussions about was it imported there either through live cervids that came in or products such as urine scents and some of those other industries where urine products are sold for hunting opportunities. And they don't know if that's a possible mechanism for how the disease was brought in. And I think they're going to continue to work on that mystery. And it could be possible that it sparked there in some other way, but they're working on understanding that.
Now, I've heard that the chronic wasting disease can jump from the deer to humans with contact. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct.
Oh,
at this
okay.
point, we have no known confirmation that a human can contract chronic wasting disease. However, there's been some recent changes to recommendations that come from the Centers of Disease Control and the World Health Organization about the human health risks for chronic wasting disease. And that really came from a recent study conducted in Canada by the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, where they fed venison with CWD to macaque monkeys. And these monkeys did develop disease through orally eating the meat, like a human would eat venison. So that really raises the question of, is the barrier between species and this particular disease really that sound? So that has sparked different recommendations now from CDC telling people to not eat deer that were tested and positive for chronic wasting disease, and to also have your deer tested. So that's new recommendations. Then the precautionary advice in the past was basically, we don't know this is a risk to humans, but just don't eat sick animals, period.
So how would you recognize a sick animal, and how long does it take to conduct these tests?
Well, chronic wasting disease is a very slowly progressive neurologic disease, and that's one of the challenges with it, is that an animal such as a deer can get exposed to chronic wasting disease but look totally normal for the first 2 years and then start to develop the disease, and then it progresses very rapidly, and they typically die within 6 months of a clinical development of the disease, which is very neurologic in nature. So they become unafraid of people, they can circle, they're drooling, they have tremors, and they lose their condition, which is why it's called a wasting disease. So to get to that level of illness, it takes 18 months minimum up to 3 years. So a CWD positive deer could look perfectly normal to the observer, and that's one of the challenges with this disease.
Well, then, how long? Can I, if I shoot a deer and I submit it for testing, how involved is that? Is that something like they just take a bit of it and they say yes, your deer has it, or no, your deer doesn't, or does it take a week or a month or?
Sure. Well, the testing that we're doing, we're going to be conducting at 19 check stations throughout the North Central Zone that you talked about earlier, because we found this disease in a captive game farm in Crow Wing County, and that's why we're doing precautionary testing all around Crow Wing County in 8 deer permit areas. So if hunters are in 155, 171, 172, 242, 246, 247, 248, and 249, it is a requirement this year on the opening deer season, the 4th and 5th, to have your deer brought into one of our testing sites, and especially if it's over a year old. So fawns that were killed that were born this spring are exempted from the testing. And what happens is we take 2 lymph nodes from under the jaw. So they're called retropharyngeal lymph nodes. So there's a slice to the neck, and these 2 lymph nodes are taken. And that's one of the earliest sites that these prions accumulate. And those samples are then sent to Colorado State University for testing. The test turnaround is approximately 2 weeks. And hunters will only be notified directly if the animal's positive. Otherwise, we'll have some announcements after the 2-week period announcing negative results throughout that whole zone.
How do hunters find out where they get tested on opening weekend?
Yeah, we have our list of sampling stations on our website. And again, there's 19 of them, and they're scattered all through this area so that a hunter wouldn't have to drive more than 20 miles in any direction to find us. And some of them are some big game stations that typically have hunters come in, such as the Reamer Junction gas station. But other areas we are at are public water accesses near Mille Lacs. In Pine River, we're at the fairgrounds. So we picked areas that can facilitate a large number of hunters coming in a very short window of time. We'll actually be at the stations from 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday. But we tend to have rushes of hunters that come mid-morning after the morning hunt is over and then into the evening, which is why we're going to be at these stations 4 hours beyond sunset to try to accommodate that evening rush of hunters with their recently harvested deer.
We are talking with Dr. Michelle Carstensen from the Minnesota DNR Wildlife Health Program. She is the supervisor. We're talking about chronic wasting disease and the mandatory testing opening weekend. What are the areas? What are the numbers again?
Sure. For the North Central area, it's permit areas 155, 171, 172, 242, 246, 247, 248, and 249.
If you're hunting in one of those areas, it is mandatory that you bring your animal in for testing.
That's correct. And we also have some accommodations for hunters that shoot a trophy animal. We clearly don't want to, discourage trophy harvest. And for a person that really wants to mount a mature buck, that we can still work with them. We do have taxidermists trained throughout this area to take lymph node samples. So that can be one option. A hunter can show up with their trophy animal already caped to the jaw, and we can still pull the samples. And if they prefer to use a taxidermist that isn't part of our network and outside of the area, we just have a simple form we fill out with the hunter to track the destination of that head and then get it back later after their taxidermist is finished with the process.
Are you suggesting that if a hunter shoots a deer in one of those areas and submits it for mandatory testing, that hunter not eat any of that deer until the results come back?
Well, that's really the hunter's decision, to be honest. It's really what everybody views as risk to themselves or to their family. As I mentioned, the CDC's new guidelines recommend having it tested and to not eat a deer known to have CWD. And so that could indicate to folks that they might want to wait for those test results. Others might not see that as a large enough risk to wait, and that's really up to the individual.
Okay.
So, Michelle, this sounds like a lot of work, a lot of places where this chronic wasting disease testing is going on the opening hunting weekend. How does the DNR pull all this off?
it's quite the effort. And as you know, we talked about, it's not really just this Crow Wing County area we're working. The farm that was found infected in Crow Wing County also sold animals to a farm in Meeker County that also is positive. So there's just as large a surveillance area going around the Meeker County detection. And furthermore, we found the disease in wild deer in Fillmore County last fall. So we are actually in three areas of the state this year working very hard to test deer, because early detection is really the key. If it gets here and it's established, there has been no successful situation where the disease has been eradicated. So the key is to get it early and to try to attack it very aggressively to see if you can rid that area of CWD. Otherwise, you live with it and it spreads.
Any precautions that hunters need to take after they shoot their deer as they're bringing it to the testing sites?
One of the things we recommend for hunters is to have the deer positioned with the head accessible so that we could reach that neck area. So if they're in a pickup truck, you know, heads toward the tailgate, and not have them tied down underneath all their equipment. So the whole process is very quick. It can be 5 minutes or less, especially if the hunters come prepared with the animals in a good position and also having their license ready, because we'll ask the hunter for their Minnesota DNR number, and we'll get their name and phone number so we can contact them about the test results. And we also show them a map of the permit area they were hunting and ask them to point to the section. So having a good sense of where they were is also helpful and will expedite the process and get hunters through their lines and back home as quick as we can.
What can the average person do to make sure that the disease doesn't have a vector in their neighborhood?
Well, we've always asked folks to report sick wildlife to us, and sick deer in particular. And we take reports, year-round all across the state of animals, particularly deer, that don't look right. They might, have some sort of a skin issue or look really skinny or not behave correctly or normally. In those cases, if we can recover that animal, we do. And we always screen them for chronic wasting disease, particularly if there was a neurologic component to the animal's behavior. And in those cases, we do anywhere from 50 to 100 a year across the state. And those are just from reports to the public about a sick animal. And we have yet to detect a case that way, but it's a very important surveillance for us to stay on top of sick animals and do the rule out for CWD.
What about bringing animals together sort of inadvertently? I know it's illegal to bait deer in Minnesota, but I also know that a lot of hunters create food plots and salt licks and that sort of thing, and I don't know about the legality of that, but bringing the deer into close contact with one another, is that ill-advised?
Yeah, that's a definite risk factor, and we've addressed that with this detection and for Crow Wing by banning recreational feeding. So baiting, as you mentioned, has already been illegal in Minnesota since 1991. But we have a recreational feeding ban that does include mineral and salt blocks. And that, for the Crow Wing area, includes Crow Wing County, Morrison County, Aiken County, parts of Cass, and parts of Mille Lacs. So that is exactly what you mentioned. It's to try to keep deer from congregating into these artificial feeding areas, because if one of them was infected, the disease is spread through saliva, urine, and feces. So by bringing one sick animal into an area that concentrates deer, it can magnify that infection among that local deer population. So that is new also for our hunters, that this feeding ban is in effect for this area. It's a similar, all the counties around the Meeker County farm and five counties in southeastern Minnesota are also have feeding bans. The one difference about the southeast is that also includes all artificial lures, so that would include urine scents and those products as well in the southeast.
Anything we missed, Michelle?
Well, I think it's important to highlight again why we're doing this. You know, the deer are extremely valuable natural resource for us in Minnesota, and we really want healthy deer, and we want happy hunters, and we want to have a herd that will be passed on to next generations in good health. And so while hunters may view some of this as an inconvenience, it's really so that we can understand if we have a problem early on and make the best decisions to not have to live with this disease in Minnesota. And we can't do it without our hunting public. So we have to do this together as a partnership, all for the same goal of healthy deer.
Dr. Michelle Carstensen is a Minnesota DNR Wildlife Health Program Supervisor. For more information on the mandatory testing for chronic wasting disease on deer on opening weekend, go to the DNR's website, dnr.state.mn.us. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.